Like I said, wanted to start out. Paul and I saw a video this week, and at least one portion of it, we just said, "Oh, we got to share this. This is really good stuff." It's a guy by the name of Todd White, which is one of Debbie's favorites. Real clean-cut looking guy, not. And I don't know how white guys get dreadlocks, but they're able to do it, I guess. But but I wanted to share a little bit. I got thinking after seeing this that somehow in my life I have lost some things. I have been a Christian, well, this fall it will be 42 years. I was 2 years old when I, no. Yeah, no. I have kids older than that. and there's a way in which, I mean, I have grown and matured. I have learned a ton. I've been to seminary, which the major thing that seminary did in my life was teach me all the things I don't know. I mean, I thought I knew everything till I went to seminary, and they just told us all the subjects that were there, and we could learn more about them, and it was like, whoa. But, I mean, actually, God's really big, and it's a lot to describe him. But there is this, the Bible calls it, I believe, and I've heard it called the first love. And I believe that you can have the first love more than once. That you can actually have that flame reignited. It happens in marriages I've seen where, and maybe sometimes there was some struggle before it happened, but where there's sort of a rebirth of the marriage. There's a rebirth of the relationship with the Lord, and we can really hone in on that. It's really a matter of the word that I always had a hard time understanding is believe. That seemed like, well, that's a pretty easy word. But if you really believe something, you believe it's real in your life. There's times in which you know something and you go, well, I know there's a God. I know that. But when you believe it, it's like it's real. It's like as concrete as standing on the floor. I mean, it's real. You can actually stand on it. In your life, you can trust that it will happen, that God really is there for you, that he really wants this relationship with you. And so that happens very often with people who are really new in the faith. And there's some people here who are, at least if not new in the faith, rediscovering some things. And it's a time in which you can really lean in on that. Wanted to tell you a story, and I just realized that my notes have, we ran out of yellow ink, and that's when it tells me where my clicker is, but all right, well, bear with me. There's a story about a young man who just had a new conversion to Christ. I mean, he was really excited about it, and he's reading the Bible, and he's kind of oohing and aahing. He's going, wow, this is really good stuff. Let me segue a bit. We were at my daughter's house a couple of weeks ago, or 4th of July, or a little before then, and her next door neighbor is kind of a new convert to Christianity. And she's laying in bed reading the Bible, and her husband's laying there reading another book, and she's going, ooh, wow, ah. And he's going, what are you reading? And she says, the Bible. He said, you're kidding. And no, this is really exciting. Well, this guy, same kind of thing. He's going, ooh, ah, wow. And he's reading it, and this guy comes up, and he's a minister. And he says, what is this, young man? And he said, I am reading where God parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to go right on through and to freedom. And this guy, this minister kind of, you know, piously looks down at him and says, young man, he says, I have to tell you that at that time in history, the Red Sea was only 3 feet deep. It was just a marsh. And the guy's eyes got even bigger yet. And he says, wow. He said, God drowned all those Egyptians in 3 feet of water. That's really something. When you believe, you believe. You really, I mean, they're not going to talk you out of it. And as a new Christian, you go, wow, this is really something. You begin to experience it. My walk started in this sleepy little town of Monroe, Michigan. And I had thought that I was a good guy and that I was, well, I actually even went to church, and at least some of the time. And so I wanted to do something to share my goodness with the community. So my then wife, different wife, but and I volunteered to be adult advisors at a place called the Orange Door Christian Coffee House. It was put on by, I believe, the Council of Churches. This is, you're talking 1971. And Sherry knows because she was, maybe we weren't there the same time, but she was part of that. And when I did it, they met in the basement of the old post office. I don't know where you guys met, somewhere else maybe, but.
Downtown with the orange door.
Oh, they had an orange door by then, okay. Didn't have an orange door yet when we were there, but. And they called us and said, there's a special event. These young men have come in and they want to have a Bible study. And we thought if we have a Christian coffee house, well, shoot, a Bible study should work in something like that. And this was a, I don't know, somebody in the Council of Churches told us this. So we go, okay, well, that's cool. What we didn't realize, and I don't think they realized it either, was these were four young men, and I can get three of them, Mike Kimber, Mark Wickenheiser, Laverne Robinson, and a fourth one. Anyway, and they were all part of a movement back then. It was called the Jesus People Movement. One way, and their symbol was a finger held up like this, pointing one way. And they were on fire Christians who were out sharing the gospel, but not connected to church. They were just going around. It started, of course, in Southern California on the beaches, and then just spread over the whole country. Well, a couple of the guys were from Monroe. Laverne and Mark were from Monroe. Mike was traveling through, and I think there was another guy there. So they shared the gospel with us. Well, I was raised Methodist, and I don't know how, but I never heard the gospel. And then I was at that time married to a Catholic, so I definitely didn't hear the gospel. And they said, we're going to do a Bible study on the third chapter of John. And they talked about being born again. And it was a strange kind of language that I had never heard before. And so I said, okay, that's interesting. And I actually, nothing happened that night, but the next day on the way to work, I was working in Woodhaven, and I just said, they said stuff. They said, just turn to God and ask him to come into your life, and he will. So driving to work, I did that. It kind of messed up my whole day because it changed my whole life. And it was really that simple. I mean, I just did that little bit of turning, and he did the rest. And all of a sudden, I was discovering that there really was a living God. I used to tell people, before that point, I talked to God. After that point, God talked to me. And I wasn't crazy, or at least not for that reason. And so it was kind of amazing that to find these young men and have them share that. So we're kind of like brand new Christians. And really, I would say pretty much on fire. You could probably make a made-for-TV movie about our first 6 months of life as a Christian. I mean, it was, because what happened that was really confusing was we really thought these young men were cool. They were younger than us, but it was amazing. They knew stuff we didn't know about God. Well, two of them, Mike Kimber and Mark Wickenheiser, went off and joined a cult. And I got to switch pages here. At that point, it was very confusing. The cult was called the Children of God, and I got to slide a couple down on it. But here, these were the folks, the young men who we kind of trusted in because they introduced us to all this. But we also start going to a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting was about as crazy of a place as was this Bible study. It was in the basement of the IHM Mother House. It was right about in there, because that's actually the floors below ground level. And we would show up for that, and we saw God healing people. We saw him, of all crazy things, delivering demons out of people. We heard people, most of them Catholics, singing in tongues, which was really strange, and worshiping God. And there were by the time we really were involved in it, 300 or 400 people there on a Thursday night. And I've shared a little bit about that, but this cult was still an influence on our life. And it was called the Children of God. And cults are really not good. They were trying to get us to sell everything we have and follow Jesus by giving them everything we had, all of our money. We just built a new house. They wanted us to turn the house over to them. And my now ex-wife, the wife then, talked me into doing it. And so we went to see the Children of God, visit them. They had a coffee house up in Detroit in a pretty rough area. Went in, and we were telling them that we were going to join them because we wanted to give everything to Jesus. And one of their elders came up to me, and he was quite excited. And he looked at me, looked in my eyes, and he said, "I really love you, brother." And when he did that, a cold chill went down my spine, and the hair in the back of my neck stood straight out. And I'm looking into the eyes that are kind of very strange. And I'm going, "I want to get out of here. There's something really wrong." And so, long story short, they kept pursuing then my wife and giving her scriptures about forsaking her husband and coming and joining them. And actually, she was going to do that, and we had met a Baptist minister once, and I called him to our house. His name was Joe Atkinson. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Monroe, and then he later founded the Redeemer Fellowship. And Joe came over and basically had scriptures to clarify what God was really saying. Well, also, our friends, the nuns, said to me, "There's a guy in Ann Arbor that we want you to meet. He's had some run-ins with these folks. They look like really cool, like the Jesus people, but they have some huge ulterior motives that mostly have to do with money and sex." And so I said, "Okay," and they gave me his name and his address. His name was Ralph Martin, and his address was, if I can remember, it's only been 42 years, was 409 Thompson Street, Ann Arbor. I knew one street in Ann Arbor, and that was Washtenaw Avenue, which crossed 23. So I knew that. All right, well, here comes the part of the story that is the theme for today. I was young, on fire for God, so I'm going to go find this guy. You know, there is no Googling the address in 1971. There's no GPS. I didn't even have maps. So I just said, you know what? I think if God wants me to talk to this guy, I'm just going to drive to Ann Arbor and find him. And so that's what I did. I just said, Lord, lead me to this guy's house. And I want to tell you that he did. I think I drove past it once, but I mean, it wasn't like I was all over the city. And I got to show you, I don't know if this is going to make any sense or not, but I knew Washtenaw. Washtenaw comes in here and then curves up. And the house is on Thompson Street right here. Well, there isn't any outlet that goes, it stops at Williams or Liberty or something, but you can't find Thompson Street, and it's one way going the wrong way, which all the streets in Ann Arbor are one way going the wrong way if you've ever driven in Ann Arbor. Number of times I've seen people driving towards like six cars wide coming at them, but it took me right to them. And if you want to get the street view, it was one of these houses right here, tucked in the middle of all of Ann Arbor. And I drove pretty much straight to it and had a great conversation with the guy that was very helpful. And I moved to Ann Arbor to join his group. But my point was, I just believed God was going to, if you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. God's going to, he's going to direct my steps right to where I ought to go. Well, thankfully, I have grown up and I don't believe such silly things anymore. That's the part that I'm saying that I lost, that first love, that excitement for God in which I did stupid things for God. I went and said, I'm going to trust him and I'm just going to go do what he calls me to do. I haven't even looked at my notes yet. Okay, I'm in the right spot. Now comes the video. The video is part of a trilogy. It's the third video that this young man has made. His name is Darren Wilson. It's called The Father of Lights is the name of the video you're going to see a clip of. It's actually a 15-minute clip, but don't worry, I'm just about done talking myself. And his kind of cool is that he's from Monroe. He lives in Chicago now. He's good friends with Robbie Dawkins. And actually, he follows Robbie along on some of the videos that he does. His dad is Gary Wilson. And I was in my first men's group ever as a Christian with Gary Wilson in Joe Atkinson's church. And so I don't know him, but I know his dad really well. His dad's a instructor at community college pottery. But anyway, good guy from what I understand. Don't know him that well. The other guy that is in the video is this guy, and his name is Todd White. I wanted to show you a picture of him before you started to see the video so you're not quite as shocked by it. But he's a really cool guy. And he's been a Christian for a long, long time. He said he's been a Christian for 7 years, or at least when they made this video. So it's pretty cool. And this is, it's part of a whole video. But they wanted to show how God works. And I told you this whole long story about how God got me to this house because the video is very similar. And in the video, they're in Jerusalem. If I don't know Ann Arbor, I really don't know Jerusalem. And they're going to a place in Jerusalem. It's called the Dome of the Rock. And let me read a little bit about that. The Dome of the Rock is believed to be situated on the location of the Jewish Second Temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD by Romans who built a pagan temple on the site. As the Roman Empire became Christianized, the Church of St. Cyrus and St. John was built on the location around 325. Later, it was enlarged to become the Church of the Holy Wisdom. The location is holy to the Christians because of the role of the temple played in the life of Jesus. You're going to hear them talk about the Holy of Holies. Maybe I've got that in my notes. But during the Byzantine era, Jerusalem was primarily Christian, and pilgrims came by the tens of thousands to experience the place where Jesus walked. It's an important place. Many Orthodox rabbis regard entry into the compound to be a violation of Jewish law. This is based on the belief that since the time of the temple was destroyed during the siege, that the precise location of what was called the Holy of Holies, only the head priest could be there. The sanctuary entered only the high priest is not known. The dome is now maintained. It was built by the Muslims who came in and took over Jerusalem. That was why they had the Crusades to try and fight to get Jerusalem back. So it's a Muslim mosque. And what I want to tell you about it is they don't let Christians in. And they really don't let Christians in to do anything like pray or whatever. So the video you're about to see is about a couple of guys and fortunately a cameraman who have a goal. They show up in Jerusalem and their goal is to go inside the Holy of Holies. In the Dome of the Rock that the Muslims don't allow people in, they want to go in there and pray and call Jesus down. And do you want to kill the lights? So you'll see Todd White, you'll see Darren, and you'll see a couple of other folks. I don't know how the volume's going to be. I never got a chance to test it, so it may blast out. Get ready to, one way or another.
John 14, 12, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, the same things I do, he's going to do." That's pretty amazing. Then he steps it up and says, "and greater." So you see that in the word. In Mark 68, it says it. It says, "pray for the sick, lay hands on the sick." In order for the sick to be healed, you first got to lay your hands on them.
When we headed to Jerusalem, I asked God to do something impossible, something that only he could do. Get me into the Dome of the Rock, the second holiest site in Islam, and a mosque that has been totally off limits to non-Muslims since 2003. We had no idea how to do this. We had no contacts, and God only had 24 hours to make this happen. My main reason for wanting to go was simply for the world to see for themselves the God of the impossible. We arrived in Jerusalem and immediately hit the streets looking for people to love. The first person we met was this guy, who was walking with a pretty severe limp. Todd jumped right in.
What is your name?
Shay.
My name is Todd. Can I know how to make your pain go away.
Yeah?
Yes, sit.
Massage?
Yes, sit. Right here. Just for a minute. Sit back the whole way. With your butt back. Uh-huh. Behind back. Yep. Feet. This, look. See this leg? It's long. This is short, you see? Watch. Father, I thank you right now, in Jesus' name, left leg grow. You feel? You feel it coming out? Yeah. Look. It's good. You feel in this leg? You feel the pain going away right now. Watch. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Every bit of pain, I command you, get out right now. Get out. Discs, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Stand up. Bend. Check. It's good? Come on. Gone. Gone. Check. Any pain? Good? Gone?
I am dreaming or what?
No, you're not dreaming. Walk with me and tell me if it's gone. Come on. You know, I watched you walk. There's no pain. It's gone. Jesus just gave you new discs in your back. You had two discs that were bad and brand new discs right now. Because Jesus lives inside of me. So I pray and he touches you.
Thank you.
What is your, what, how do I
Shane,
say it?
Shane, it's Ish, it, S-H-A-H-I-N.
That's amazing. Are you Muslim?
Yes.
I'm Christian, and I just want to tell you that I love you.
Oh, I love you.
All of my heart.
Thank you very, very, very much.
How do you say it? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum
assalam. Salam. Right, yes. Bless you.
Okay.
Enjoy your new back.
Thank you very much. Thank
Jesus
you, thank
name.
You, thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Look, it's good.
Thank you for your time also.
Love you. Yeah, okay. Bless Bye. You, brother. Bye. See you. That's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
Said I'm a Muslim. No, Jesus is the Son of God.
Yay.
Gosh. Look at him walking. Look at him walking down the steps right now. No pain at all. Did you see him walking when he was like this?
Oh, really?
He was walking like, oh my goodness. You see how fast? Did you see him walking when he was coming up? He was walking like this. He said, am I dreaming? I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good start. So we kept going, and we entered the Muslim quarter of Old Jerusalem, and Todd began praying for people, and they started to get healed left and right. So they brought others up to us, and soon a crowd had gathered.
I want to be known as somebody that loves, somebody that's passionate. It's about compassion. It's about the passionate heart of God for people. We got to stop trying to manipulate people, maneuver them into praying our prayer, and start to just become love. Not pointing out the trash, but pulling out the goodness that people are. Come on, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, not imputing the world's trespasses against them. Come on, but reconciling people back to the Father. That's the ministry that we have. If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you have, bro.
Word was spreading in the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem, and for nearly an hour we prayed for Muslims. Towards the end, a man approached us.
So you're not going to make it to the bottom of the hill, you know that.
That's awesome.
Hello? Hello? How are you?
Good.
Good. You are healthy?
Yes.
Yes? Healthy, no sick? In your chest, your lungs, your heart, no problems?
No problem, there's a healing man.
Yes.
This gift.
Yes, I have this in me. I want to pray. Any problems?
It's
pictures, yes. We're doing a picture. Yeah.
Come. Where are you from?
From Pennsylvania.
First time Israel?
Second time. I'm Christian, yeah.
Good.
You are?
Me too, yeah.
You are?
Yes.
Come on.
It's amazing, yeah?
That is good.
Oh, it's amazing. I want to bless my home.
I want to bless your home. This is where you live?
Yes, Via Dolorosa.
How did you get to live in Via Dolorosa?
It's the way of Christ.
Wow.
Lord Jesus suffered here.
Yes.
We're in the fifth station also.
Yeah.
Here my brother.
Okay.
It's a blessing for you. You become something new.
Yes.
Don't be inside the city, no?
Hello? He is hurt?
He is
hurt?
Yeah.
Yes. He has
he's sick?
He's sick. Very sick. It's his chest. He has a heart problem and his lungs.
Yeah.
That's what I heard out there, chest and lungs.
Yes.
I must pray for him to be healed.
Yeah.
Why not? Is it cancer?
No, it's not cancer.
What is it?
The doctor told me, you know, his heart is not working like 20%.
Yes.
And he can't make operation. And he's also Christian.
Yes.
It's my father-in-law.
Yes. Yeah. I want to pray. He understands?
He doesn't understand. We'll translate.
That's okay. All right.
So Todd prayed, and then he asked how the man was feeling.
He was happy, ashamed. Still have like a little bit pain left side.
A little bit pain? Point to pain. Push. Tell him to touch it.
Hot in the window, yeah.
Get out. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Father, I thank you for wholeness in Jesus' name right now. No more pain, no more heart problems. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Ask. See?
Awesome.
It's good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. I love you. Can he walk? He can walk? Is he good or walk? He's okay walking? Ask him if his ankles feel better.
Feel better.
Good.
As we were leaving, I asked him if he knew of any way we could get into the Dome of the Rock. He said it was impossible. I said, yeah, that's what everyone keeps telling me. But how can I get in? Then he looked at me, studied me, and said, we blessed him, now he wants to bless us. His best friend, he said, knows everyone who works at the Dome. If there is one person in Jerusalem who might be able to get us in, it was this guy. Would we like to meet him? Yes, please. Then let's go. So we walked for 20 minutes through the winding streets of Old Jerusalem until we came to a courtyard, and this man called out to his friend, and the God of the impossible answered me. So we sat with him, told him what we wanted to do, and he told us to be back tomorrow at 10. The next morning, we met outside the gate that made our way to the dome. As I stood outside this building, which once was the spot where Abraham almost sacrificed his son, Isaac, where the Ark of the Covenant used to reside, and where Muslims believe Muhammad ascended into heaven, I realized that we were about to do the impossible because God had made it possible. We were not here by force. We were here through simple acts of love. So we went in, during the call to prayer no less, and I realized that God had done the impossible to teach me, all of us, a lesson. For God, this was easy. The most impossible thing is that we, with our dirty faces and broken hearts, could have a love affair with the God of the universe, no matter who we are or what we've done. This was where the Ark of the Covenant resided, the Holy of Holies, and it was in this very spot that God tore the veil that kept us from his heart at the moment Jesus died. And then, amazingly, our guide turned to us and asked if we'd like to go into the Well of Souls. And we entered into the foundation of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence used to reside, and the light of the world was lifted up in the very spot he once called home. Nearly 3,000 years ago, Isaiah wrote this: I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, here I am, here I am.
Jesus' name, God, we release your presence. Your presence would stay. Your presence would be here. There's absolutely nothing stronger than Jesus. We thank you, God, right now. Father, thank you. God, we release your presence. Holy God, presence, God, presence. Father, we thank you. Jesus' name, God, we release your presence right now. Come, Holy Spirit, dominate this place. Dominate this place, God, in Jesus' name.
And it goes on easily. God opened doors. Yeah, and God opened doors easily for us. You know, if you saw hundreds were there in the yard, and even if they pay thousands of dollars, they won't get inside, you know. But God helped us.
Especially Americans.
And especially America, you know.
Don't boast about having great faith. Don't judge other faiths. I believe Jesus the only way, the truth, and the life. I will not try to be politically correct. Simple. The line has been drawn in the sand. Jesus is the only way. I'm ready to die for this statement. But then, how you convey the way is only through love.
These Muslims were radically touched and got completely rocked. I believe that the Holy Ghost is a big boy, and he's well able to accomplish the task, man. Anybody can do this thing. Dude, I'm 7 years old in God. All I know is that Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You gather or you scatter.
I think we need to be the light of the world. Step back out there, not in a rude way, but in a relevant way to people. Ask God to use you wherever you go. Just encourage someone.
And I don't know what gave me to help you to get inside. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why something Gianni told me I have to help you. You know, I felt that your face is something special, you know. Something attractive, you know, something attractive that gives people to help you.
Amen.
He saw the light of the Father on our face.
You want to hit the light. So, you can see why we wanted to share it. I hope you can see why. That part where he said, the God of the impossible, and they walk and it's the guy they first guy that they run into. And it reminded me of such small comparison, but my little drive into Ann Arbor and finding this house on a street that even when I lived there for a while, I would have had a hard time finding. But this was God working. You could see him. It was like, we'd think, that's kind of a selfish thing to want to go in there, but they just felt like this is what God wants them to do. And everyone told them it was impossible. They don't let Christians in there, let alone, as the guy said, Americans. Those are the worst kind of Christians. But God had set it up. And you could see Todd, he's actually relatively new in all of this, but he just flat out believes. You can tell that there's no hesitation. And I'm sure that he's prayed a number of times and nothing's happened, but it's where that risk is of where we're willing to step out. In the vineyard, we spell faith, R-I-S-K. And it means that you're willing to look stupid for God. You're willing to pray for somebody and nothing happens and everybody thinks you look stupid. But when you see his hand, God's hand on something like this, they couldn't have made this up. And you couldn't have found the right two people. The one guy found them, the Christian, and his best friend was the other guy. This is, hours later. So that's what I wanted to do before we started ministry time, was for you, one of the things that's important in ministry is that our faith is raised, that we know that God really is and can be working in our lives. So let's just take this time now and just ask God to come. Todd is no one that we aren't. He's a believer just like us. He is what we are. He's just another guy. if you ran into him, I'd bet you any money that that's what he'd say. Yeah, you can do all this stuff too, if you believe in Christ. If you believe, so it's coming to church is hard, getting up on Sunday morning. Giving some of your money away is hard to do when you're already tight. Fitting time in for doing stuff for Christ is difficult because everyone's booked solid. And yet those are nothing compared to believing to the point where, okay, I'm going to even throw away some of my trust and common sense in other things like GPS and so forth and just follow God and see where he takes me. So let's turn our hearts to the Lord and just ask him to speak to us. Anyone who has anything that they feel that God's saying, sharing, wanting to do, anyone that has come in saying, oh my gosh, I've got a pain in my finger. Can anyone heal me or whatever? So let's turn our hearts to him. Please feel free to speak out. Come, Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jerusalem.
I just wanted to say something about, I've watched a lot of Todd White, and to know that he's the real.
I want to say this is not a parlor trick either. It's not something where they just want. I mean, there was a purpose in all this. I mean, how many people got healed to the point where they started to had a stir in the Muslims? And they didn't go in and go, ugh, you're Muslim. I'm not going to have anything. It was just, I'm going to love whoever God. You know, my prayer at the end of the church service most often is that we would love the people that come across our path, love and serve them. And that's really, loving God and loving others is the whole ballgame.